Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are at the end of Sefer Vayikra. That is right. We are up to another double parsha, Parsha Behar Bechukotai. This week, we have a lot to talk about, and it's a double parsha with perhaps a double connection, actually. Towards the beginning of our first parsha, Behar, after speaking about Shemitah and Yovel, the Torah writes, Asitem et chukotai. And you shall perform my chukim and my mishpatim, you shall keep and you shall perform them, and you will dwell on the land securely. I'll get back to more precisely what that means in a moment. There's a very similar set of psukim in our next parsha, which is Bechukotai, which says, In Bechukotai teilechu v'yat mitzvotai tishmeru, v'asitim otam v'yishavtim uvetach v'aretzachem. And you should go in the way of my chukim and my mitzvot, you shall keep and you will perform them, and time later, then you will dwell securely in your land. The similarities are obvious, but what's interesting to focus on are actually the differences. The first statement mentions chukim and mishpatim, whereas the second one mentions chukim and mitzvot. You have to explain that. The second difference is the verb selected to accompany the term chukim. In the first instance, it is speaking of doing or performing the chukim, but in the second case, the Torah speaks of going in the way of the chukim. Why does the Torah specifically choose the language of performing or doing in the first instance rather than going, especially as the term perform appears in the pasuk just a few words later? It says you shall perform them, and then, you know, chukim mishpatim you shall keep, and you shall perform them. So why say it twice? That's our second question. Third, our first statement mentions dwelling in the land, and the second one mentions dwelling in your land. So why that difference? So we're only going to shed some light on it, but obviously the answers can go far beyond. As I've mentioned previously, the term mitzvah connotes the worldly responsibility of a Jew, so not just the 613 mitzvot, but the command in general for a Jew to live a Torah life that's responsible and also emulating God and his ways in the world. A Jew has to recognize his heightened responsibility and must monitor all of his actions, therefore. By Shemitah and Yovel, there are brief periods of special commitments that deal with primarily strict observance rather than general behavior, and therefore the term mitzvot is not necessary. But in our second case, where the Torah seems to be speaking of overall commands of responsibility, it is clear why the term mitzvot is used. Again, we were answering the question of why the first one deals with chukim and mishpatim, and the second one deals with chukim and mitzvot. And again, the term mitzvot is more of a general term, and that's why it's fitting in the beginning of Parsha Bechukotai, which is going in all of Hashem's ways, all of his mitzvot, whereas chukim and mishpatim are a little more specific. So we answered the first question. But we didn't completely answer the first question because we didn't explain why the term mishpatim is not used in the second case. So again, Behar says chukim and mishpatim, Bechukotai says chukim and mitzvot. We explained why mitzvot is not in the first one, but we didn't explain why mishpatim is not in the second. Now, mishpatim can refer to social or logical commandments as opposed to chukim, which are seemingly illogical and observed simply for accepting the word of Hashem. Yet another way of looking at mishpatim is what is contained primarily in Parshat Mishpatim, which are namely laws between man and one fellow man. So I'm suggesting perhaps that why the term mishpatim is not included here is because they should already be ingrained in a proper Jew. So not every single, you know, detail of every single halacha, but a person should generally act properly towards his fellow man. And that the hard part should be the chukim and the mitzvot of greater responsibility. In fact, when our parsha introduces a tochacha, the admonitions and punishments later on in Bechukotai, it not only includes the term of mishpatim, but says im mishpatai tig al nafshechem, which can be translated as if your being rejects my mishpatim. One's being should have mercy and kindness to others built in. It shouldn't have to be told that they have to do that. And this is in addition to, of course, burning all of Hashem's other commandments that lead to the horrible punishments that follow. Now, to address the other question of the double language of Asiya, performing, used by Shemitah and Yovel, the second usage seems to be pertaining to the Mishpatim, which perhaps is included since there is a responsibility towards one another in difficult times, much more so than you would have in normal times. There's not going to be a lot of food to go around during the Shemitah year or Yovel year, and assisting others will be crucial. And therefore, it's not enough to keep the Mishpatim, but also to perform them. So again, the first is like, performing them in general, chukim and mishpatim, but make a special effort to perform them during, I mean, you should always perform them, but make a special effort to perform them during the Shemitah and Yovel years, where it's going to be more needed than ever. The language to perform may simply be used by chukim here, because the laws of Shemitah involve active guard and participation, but in the second case, so let's go back a second. The word chukim is used in both cases by Behar and Bechukotai. In the case of Shmita and Yovel, it may involve active guard and participation, even if you don't really understand why Hashem set up the Shmita year and set up the Yovel year. You still have to do it. But in the second case, the Chukim are in a much broader context of the mitzvot as a whole, including all the aspects that you don't understand, and therefore the verb uses the term go or walk. You have to start moving forward, and once you're on the path, it will be easier to accept those things that perhaps you don't understand. Now, our third question is perhaps a bit more difficult, but, you know, perhaps it could suggest an answer. By Shemitah and Yovel, the laws are a function of the land, meaning Dafka Eretz Yisrael. By Shemitah, the produce, and to some extent the land itself, is temporarily ownerless. It's considered hefker. It is not your land. By Yovel, a person may be forced to give up his or her actual land and return it to its original owner. Therefore, it's classified as the land, because it's not your land necessarily. It's the land of Israel in general where these laws apply. In contrast, but the ongoing responsibility of moral, ethical, and divine relationship laws is a function of your land. Most of the time, you do own the land, and you do have responsibilities that come with it, you know, such as giving payah and maaser and all these things like that that apply to it. Now, this is most applicable in Eretz Yisrael, but there's some element to these obligations wherever he or she is. You know, in this case, it would be, you know, things like, you know, giving maaser of your, you know, 10% of your income or things like that, or just other things like orla, possible other things like that that apply on land in general. But wherever your land is, you must go in Hashem's ways, right? Whether your land is in Eretz Yisrael or not, you still have to go in Hashem's ways. You don't only keep the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. That's not an option. You have to keep it everywhere. But we have to therefore remember our obligations and choose as well as human beings. And we have to, you know, have those obligations no matter where we are, right? Whether we're at Israel, we're at desert islands, it doesn't matter. We always have the, you know, it doesn't matter where we're living. We always have people around us, typically always have people around us. And we therefore have to interact properly. And then we have special obligations that arise because we're Jewish, and even more so in the Holy Land of Israel, and even more so in Jerusalem and certain times of Beit HaMikdash. So may we be zochah soon to experience a true Yovel with the coming of Mashiach. I know it's a tiny bit shorter today, but wishing you all an amazing Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom to all.